Evening, everyone. Good to see you. Thank you, Judy and Dave. That was refreshing. It's great that God knows what he's doing. Amen. He certainly does. And we can be particularly grateful, I think, for the fact that this church particularly hasn't seen much of the destruction of COVID. And I've been on the phone today to a few churches that I'm part of in India and Nepal. And they're all experiencing daily deaths of people with COVID. And there's no hope of vaccine for them for a long, long time. But in some of them too, there are more new births than deaths. And so they're not in despair. They are just realizing that they've got a sovereign God who is working even in the midst of what we face. And I think that's the crux of my message tonight, really. There are two kind of focuses I'd like to bring. The first one is that, or leading into the first one, I think we all know that God is working through what's happening. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've heard God speak to me personally clearer and more often during this last 9 months than I have in the last few years. And he's using this time to speak to many people in his church, and many people being drawn back to the truth. But because I'm prophetic too, I need to be real about what we're going to face next year. And it's not going to get any better. It might not be COVID, but next year is going to be a year of the unexpected. A year when nothing we can be sure of. Because God is causing transition and movement in the heavenlies. And all kinds of things are being readjusted. So we can rejoice that he's in control. And we're part of his kingdom, and we're his children. But we need to be realistic too and prepare our hearts for what is to come. Because if we don't do that, we're going to be caught by surprise. And we mustn't, you know, be rushing ahead thinking everything's going to be back to normal. Next year is going to be as tough as this year. Because God is still working. God is still working his purposes out. But having said that, we need to see too the first focus I want to bring you tonight. There are three things in the Bible that we're told to do daily. Okay? Three things that we're told to do daily. In Leviticus 24, the priests had to minister to the Lord daily with the burning of offerings and to keep the oil burning in the tabernacle of God. And that speaks to us of our own personal relationship and development of that in the Lord. And God requires that daily from us. And I hope this has been a time when you've drawn closer to God, because he's there waiting for us daily to speak to us, to encourage us, to bless us, to give us the strength we need. Amen. So daily we come before the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. The second thing he told us to do daily is to give me today my daily bread. To pray for his provision for our needs. That comes in the Lord's Prayer. And we're to do that daily. God is a God who wants to provide for you everything that you need, because he loves you. Amen. So if we face hardship next year, if we face a loss of income, if we face all kinds of economic stuff, if we're coming to him daily and relying on him, he's a miracle working God. I couldn't even write the number of times when God has provided and we've had nothing. And you may sit there thinking, oh, you know, it's all right for him. Yeah, I'm on a basic pension. Most of anything I do above the normal daily resources, holidays, travel, car, anything like that, blessing, I normally get from preaching when I go out and preach. And I've lost all of that income for the last year. And it's no small amount. And yet God has provided. Amen. He's made up and given more, because I know he loves me and I can reach out and trust him for my needs. But this is the important focus. It's in this verse, Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The third and most important thing we need to be doing daily is to encourage one another. And we're going to need to do that more and more and more next year. And we need to take that on board. See, there is a ministry of encouragement in Romans 12. But everyone who's born again of the Spirit can encourage, can bless, can lift up other people through giving, through a telephone call, through an internet thing, just by inquiring how they are. Brings encouragement. And I want you to just see tonight that in Scripture, encouragement often goes together with the word strengthen. When we encourage one another, we are actually being used by the Holy Spirit to put steel into one another, to strengthen one another, to build one another up. It's not just words that we speak. God will use your encouragement to strengthen someone. And we all need that. Amen? And there will be times next year when you will need that. And you'll be wondering, you know, what is this? And suddenly a phone call will come. And God will use someone to strengthen you, to encourage you. and that burden will be lifted up. But that only works if we all take it on board. Amen? It's interesting, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, wonderful verse, says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strengthen or strongly support and encourage those whose hearts are completely his." What a promise. Every single day, God's eyes are going round the whole earth, looking at his people who are his, and he's saying, "I'm going to strengthen and encourage you." Now, he can only do that if he uses us. Amen? And I want you to see that this is a fantastic and powerful ministry. You're actually working with God as he looks around and he sees people who are in need and discouraged, and he will say to you in your daily time, "Go and encourage that one. Phone that one up, because these are people who are committed to me. And I don't want them discouraged. I want them strengthened and built up." Acts 15:32, "Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message." Now, you're not going to get a lengthy message tonight, but the words there, strengthen and encourage, go together. We need to see the power of that. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, "And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." Amen. So the most important thing to do in your encouragement and strengthening has to do with faith. Because that's what the enemy attacks in tough times. When we face next year, it will be the enemy working to discourage you and knock your faith, to rob you of hope, to make your faith weaker, because that's always been his number one weapon, to cause unbelief to come in our hearts and to rob us of the faith we have in him. Amen? So see how it's fitting together now. Faith is something we need to be encouraging people in the coming days. God wants you to have an enduring faith. No matter what you face, he wants your faith not only to be secure, but growing and enduring. And the help that we get from one another will make sure that happens. Amen? So look around this congregation. Look around your friends. And make sure daily you are encouraging their faith to endure when they may be feeling down. What a ministry. Fantastic. And so let's look at that second emphasis. Let's look at faith for a little bit. 1 John 5:4. "Everyone born of God has overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." It's faith in God. It's faith in our Creator. It's faith in Father in heaven that's going to get us through this crisis. Amen? Nothing else. We will overcome through faith. Nothing else. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. You came to God by faith because of his grace. And he wants you to continue in faith, to increase your faith, not to not endure in your faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no need to worry about whether next year is a tough year or we don't understand what's going on, because we've been justified by faith, and God will give us the peace that we need to overcome. Isn't that great? Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. When your circumstances are being shaken in the coming days, you've got a shield of faith. And if that faith endures, you can see off any fiery dart of the enemy. But sometimes you need a phone call. You need a word. You need someone else to come alongside and encourage and strengthen you in that faith. James 1:5-6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. God's got all the wisdom you need to overcome anything that is chucked at you next year. But you've got to ask him for it in faith. That's why he wants your faith to be built up and made strong. Hebrews 11:6, this is the key. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you seek him daily, that will build your faith. And you'll see God in a new light. He's your Father. He's your provider. He will cause all things to work out for your good. That's why faith is so important. And if you haven't got faith, you can't please your Father, because he operates in the realm of faith, not unbelief. Amen? So draw out of that unbelief and that doubt and that fear and put yourself in the realm of faith. I love this one. Mark 9:23. Everything is possible for him who believes. Do you believe that? Why is that true? Because all things are possible with him. And you're one of his kids. Hallelujah. My dad rules the earth. He has all the resources of heaven available to me. So if I believe it, there's nothing to fear. He will be with you through whatever trial you face. Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. See, this time the enemy has been trying to discourage us by making us lazy, I believe. It's easy just to sit at home and not bother and hide yourself away and not engage. Let's stir ourselves up and start using that gift of encouragement to bring to others. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 to 5. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Yeah, we're going to have to face tribulation and trials. But those Thessalonians were renowned for their enduring faith in the time of trial. I'd like to imagine that this church would become the most encouraged and encouraging church in the whole of this area. Amen? And that depends on you. If you strengthen and encourage one another, when people are going through difficult times, that will have repercussions. See, if you're encouraged by someone, you're more likely to encourage someone else. So it snowballs, yeah? And so the enemy doesn't get a chance to bring us down because we're saying, yeah, I've got these problems. Yeah, this is happening to me. Yeah, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but this thing I know. God in heaven is my Father, and he will provide, he will heal, he will walk with me, he will cause me to be in victory. Hallelujah. That's what faith is all about. See, we're called to persevere. Amen? Yeah? I'd love this thing to all be over. But it won't be because we've got Brexit coming up as well. So you get rid of one, you get another one. So it's not going to get any easier. Why do we all think it's going to get easier? God has placed us in this world to be people of faith who give others hope and strength and encouragement. And so we're called to persevere and run the race that is worked out for us. Perseverance of faith is very important. This is what I'm trying to get over to you tonight. So important we encourage one another to stay in faith. Not to go down, but to continue growing and enduring in our faith and in our expectation. See, we need to know that what God has promised will come to pass. Matthew 10:22 says, he who stands firm till the end will be saved. There are many things that will give us this perseverance. What are some things that will give us this perseverance? The first thing I think we find in the parable of the sower, we need to have deep roots for the good seed to grow on the good soil. And so those deep roots come from your daily walk with the Lord. When he speaks to you, when he produces fruit from his precious word. Amen. He wants you to be rooted in the word of God, in the love of God, in the power of God. Secondly, love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. See, if you know there are others in the family of God who love you, it's easier to persevere. Because that love surrounds you. It strengthens you. But it must be expressed. See? I can sit at home and I might not have a phone call for 5 months. And then the enemy really gets to work. And I feel sorry for myself. But if someone phones up, I realise, hey, not only God loves me, but he loves me as well. And she loves me. And they thought of me. And they're praying for me. And I've got this little gift that came through the post saying someone's wants to bless you. And so love expresses that strengthening of faith. And then we've got the confidence in God's character. Do you know he's not going to let you down? He's never going to let you down. His promises are always yes and amen. His word is always true. Romans 4, speaking of Abraham. Without weaknesses in his faith, he did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. We need to have character in God. We need to know God. Not just what he says, not what we think he is, but we need to know him personally. We need to know him as our own Saviour. And we need determination. Again, Hebrews 6, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Do you think you're going to grow in God if you're not diligent? See, there are many Christians who never move on in their faith because they're not diligent. They're not diligent in reading the word. They're not diligent in their daily time with God. And that sameness comes in and it robs you of that determination to stand in faith. God's grace. Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. And after you have done everything, you stand. Amen. You can't stand on hope, but you can stand on faith. Faith is the heart of God for you. And so we can have this enduring faith if we persevere. And we persevere knowing that our roots are in him, knowing that his love is in us to give away, knowing that we have a hope that is beyond measure, knowing that we can be confident in all that God says, knowing that he will give us the determination to see it through to the end, no matter what comes against us. Yeah? And then we have the grace of God, the wonderful grace of God. We don't deserve any of this. But Jesus died on the cross that we become the children of God. His grace gave us the inheritance of faith. Amen? So don't waste it. Grow in it. Endure in it. And as we said before, give it away. Give it away. Give it away. We need to just close with this prayer. Colossians 1, 10 and 11. It was a prayer by Paul. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Hallelujah. So let's hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he has promised, what he has promised, he is faithful to deliver. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's Hebrews 10, 23. That's the summing up of tonight's message. Amen. We are to be not only strong in our own faith, but be aware that we can actually be used of God to strengthen and build up by encouragement those around us. So I'm expecting lots of phone calls this week. Get words of faith for one another. If you're reading the Bible, you know, God will give you someone. Oh, that would be a good word for him to encourage. He will give you scriptures. If you're going to buy a whole load of candy canes for your Christmas tree, buy a few for someone else and say, hey, I've got a little gift for you because I love you. And I'm praying for you. The telephone call. You know, you can get odd telephone calls. I get odd telephone calls. And you can get faith-building telephone calls. Amen? Make sure yours is a faith-building telephone call. And we live in a world where we've got texts and Facebook, all this stuff on the internet. What an opportunity to encourage one another. Let's use what we've got and build this church up in faith. Amen. Now, I don't want you going out there kind of just making up things to say to people, because people see through that. Amen. If you're always hearing, you know, you are wonderful, you are, you know, people need to say, go a bit more specific. You're wonderful because if you just get the flowery kind of encouragement that you know is not really from deep down there. It's a bit like the emperor's clothes, if you know that story. It just doesn't mean anything. But if you can be particular and specific in your praise, in your thanksgiving, in your encouragement, that will be good. Amen. And so, Dave and Judy, you really blessed me tonight, because I really felt the presence of God. And it built me up. It made this word easier to give. So God bless you all. And have a great Christmas. And know that God is with you. He's on your side. And yeah, next year's going to be tough. We don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, he will work it out for your good and my good if we endure in faith. Amen. Bless you.